back to episode 2 of the Conservatarian Podcast. So today I figured I'd dive into a little bit of why I support Senator Graham and why I support his re-election. I'll preface this by saying this. During the primary, I did not vote for Graham. I voted for Michael LaPierre. Simply because LaPierre's views more closely aligned with mine than Graham's. Simple as that. It's a primary. I'm going to vote for the candidate I would rather have in there, the candidate that I agree with the most. But if LaPierre was not in that race, it would have been Graham, easily, hands down. So, we're going to dive into some of the criticism, I guess, Graham gets from the GOP and from Democrats. So we're going to start with Republican criticism, which is usually, they say he's too flip-floppy, they call him a rhino, he's not a real conservative, stuff like that, right? Well, it seems to me people fail to realize it's not that he's flip-floppy or that he's a rhino, it's that... Yes, he's not an ultra-hardcore conservative. He's moderate in that regard. He's a moderate conservative, and his policies and his votes show that. But he has overwhelming willingness to work with the other side out of fairness. Because that's what you're supposed to do when you go to Washington. You know, you can continue to play partisan games on both sides of the aisle, but you're going to leave people out in that regard. You know, it's not to say that either side should always listen to the other party, but you should take into account what other people are saying. If you don't take into account all opinions, all variables, you fail. Because you fail to account for all possible scenarios. And that should be the number one job as a government official. You have to take into account every possible scenario and weigh the pros and cons of every policy. Graham has expressed that willingness. He wants to reach across the aisle. Simple as that. There's not a whole lot of that going on anymore. It's very one-sided. You just have Republicans saying, hey, you guys want to add some amendments to this bill? Well, go ahead. Like Tim Scott's Justice Act. He wanted to work with the Democrats on it. He said, hey, how many amendments you want? We'll give you all the amendments you want. Let's just work on this bill. It's very important to Tim Scott. And they crapped on it. And they said, no, absolutely not. Why? Why? Because I can guarantee you this, if Democrats had their own version of the bill, Republicans would be wanting to be all over that and work with them. It is our job. Well, their job, excuse me. It's mind-boggling. So while the right criticizes Graham for being a rhino or not conservative enough, the left attacks him like he's some kind of far-right fear-mongerer. They say that he's up Trump's butt all the time, and it's amazing. And it's amazing because you truly have to not pay attention at all to Graham's actions to fail to see how he's consistently treated members of both parties. Graham voted for 2 of Barack Obama's Supreme Court nominees. Yeah, red state Republican from South Carolina voted for 2 of Obama's Supreme Court nominees. How many Democrats do you think were opposed to that? None. They loved him for it. Because Graham thought elections have consequences in that regard. He voted for 2 of them. You saw they were qualified. They may not have been the people he agreed with on policy issues, but he voted for them. He held them to a fair standard. And when he did the same to Brett Kavanaugh, the left hated him for it. Graham has been fair as he can be. And you got to understand something, too. Graham is one of those politicians that did not grow up in wealth. He grew up in a maybe middle-class family. Both his parents died when he was just out of his 20s. He had to take care of his sister. He legally adopted his sister, took care of her, went to college with, you know, all that on his plate. Joined the military, served his country. He was not deployed to any combat missions. He served as a military judge. But he did his time. He served. He visits troops a lot. Graham has done his part. But now apparently he's some ultra mega Republican bad guy that wants to steal your health care and all this kind of stuff. And look, I don't agree with Graham on everything. But I know that what he says is what he believes. And I know that he will listen to all parties involved in the decision-making process. He's consistently shown that. Now, you can say what you will about his current policies, but he's always been fair to the other side. And this hyper age of polarization and always hating on the other side, is that too much to ask for? Is it so bad that Graham is simply moderate who plays it fair? Is it so bad to want someone in there that'll work with the other side to get things done? For once? Criticism from both sides is petty. Graham is not a rhino. And Graham is not some far-right, mega-Republican bad guy. Senator Lindsey Graham is Senator Lindsey Graham. Born and raised in South Carolina. He's done nothing but support this state. What more could you ask for in a senator? Stand up for his country, work with the other side to get things done, and help his state. That's what he got elected to do. And look, like I said, I don't agree with everything Graham says, but you'll never find a politician you agree with 100% anyhow. You find the person you agree with the most and who you think will at least take your opinion into consideration. And I've written Graham's office numerous times, Tim Scott's office numerous times, Congressman Ralph Norman's office numerous times regarding issues going on. And they always get back to me. Granted, I'm sure it's some intern writing up something, but his staffers get back to you, the people involved with him get back to you. You get your answers. Graham wants common sense solutions. He wants to be bipartisan, if at all possible. I mean, was he my first pick? No. But he is sure a heck of a lot better than a progressive Democrat trying to put himself out there as a moderate, which is what we saw during the South Carolina debate. There was some question about how to bridge the divide between the parties. And Graham was commenting on it, and he said, the Democrat Party is not the party of your grandparents anymore. Something to that effect. I'm, you know, very roughly quoting him. And he said, the new party consists of nut jobs, which is not the most eloquent speech, obviously, right? But that's who Graham is. That's how he calls it. If you watch any of his interviews, watch any of his Senate hearings, or, you know, statements of that nature, that's consistent with who he is. I mean, lots of other members of Congress would say, you're lying about something, right? Graham would say, that's BS, without shortening it to BS. And then Harrison stabs back, well, the way to bridge the divide is not to call the other side nuts. Well, I'm sure you're all well aware of the rhetoric from the left these past couple of months now, with hashtags like all cops are bastards, wrong Trump, people hoping for President Trump to die when his COVID diagnosis came in. By the way, he's supposed to be released sometime today. I believe it was 6:30 is what I read. So that's good. But that, and along with other increasingly untasteful rhetoric, do you really have room to criticize Graham for calling you nuts? Especially when we look at the policies being proposed by this new modern Democratic Party, if we can even call it a Democratic Party, because you know, I could barely consider them as loving democracy much, if you look at a lot of the policies they're proposing. Yeah, let's raise taxes some more. Let's repeal Trump's tax cut that he did. Let's get the federal government involved more in healthcare, because that won't drive up prices and premiums whatsoever. You know, the same situation with colleges. Let's get the feds involved with college more, because it's not like that's what caused prices to jump up so much in the first place, with student loans and colleges knowing, hey, the feds are going to pay for a lot of this, so we can raise prices, so we'll continue to do so. It's common sense. Or maybe not so common sense anymore, yeah? It boggles the mind. Look, if you're someone more middle of the road, if you're a Democrat that feels disenfranchised, if you're an independent voter who isn't too sure about who to vote for, I encourage you, for one, do your own research on both candidates. Watch attack ads from both sides. Go pull up the previous policy standards. Pull up the voting records if they have anything. Things like that. And determine if those policies are what you agree with. And things you disagree with, I'd say we need to challenge ourselves to look into it and say, okay, why do I disagree with it? And maybe why did they feel the way they did on that policy? We need to start understanding the other side more. It doesn't mean, you know, bend your moral compass or bend your principles to the other side. It just means understand where they're coming from. Understand, even if you think it's the wrong answer, you can say, okay, I see why you think that way, and I can respect that. Now, that's not always going to be easy to do, especially if you're a pro-life individual and you're talking with someone that wants abortion up to 9 months. It's going to be harder to respect someone's ideals in that, because to you, you're talking about a life being shut out. But to them, it's just a clump of cells or my body, my choice. Some of them might even acknowledge it is a living being, but they'll still say it's the woman's choice because the woman has to carry the child to term. Things like that are hard to reconcile, but we cannot start throwing out useless insults back and forth. And sometimes it feels good to get one in, especially if you watch Trump, if you're a Trump supporter, you watch him get some good jabs in. You're like, well, they had that one coming. Sometimes, you know, that might be the case, but we do need to be careful because this divisiveness is not going to land us anywhere that is remotely good, and it's sure not going to look pretty if the powder keg ever explodes. So, when November 3rd comes around, I'll be voting for Lindsey Graham. This will be the first time I vote in a general election, and I'm excited for it. And I hope my vote doesn't come back to haunt me. I hope Graham continues to be the same Graham that I've seen him to be. The man who is fair, the man who is moderate, the man willing to work with the other side to get things done for the country and for his state. Well, that's it for today's podcast. I hope you enjoyed. Leave a message, send topic suggestions, or, you know, anything of that kind of sort. And I'll see you guys. I'll see you guys somehow through the FBI agent watching through the camera, right? Now, you'll hear me next time. This has been the Conservatarian Podcast. Thanks for listening.